You're listening to Morning Edition on 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Federal prosecutors have completed their case seeking the death penalty for convicted Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. When the defense begins Monday, it will have to overcome some emotional evidence and testimony. And this note now, our next story includes newly released audio from the day of the bombings that some listeners might find disturbing. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
The installation of a ramp to the witness stand foreshadowed the arrival of amputees who would be the central figures in the last day of government testimony. "I remember her screaming, 'Oh, expletive, he's still on fire,'" said Mark Fukuril, of the nurse who reached him after his right leg was amputated through the knee. His belt buckle was so hot he got third-degree burns on his hands trying to take off his belt to fashion a tourniquet. "What happened to your leg?" asked prosecutor William Weinreb. "A firefighter told me I handed it to him. I don't recall," said Fukuril, who may soon have to give up his other leg. Of 17 people who were maimed that day, the government called 3 who were outside the Forum restaurant. They were the victims of the bomb placed by Jahar Tsarnaev. Fukuril had pushed himself to the stand in a wheelchair. Heather Abbott walked on a prosthetic leg. In recovery after her heel was blown off that day at the Forum, and after 3 attempts to save her foot, she learned that she would have to have her leg amputated up to the knee in order to wear a prosthetic. Her description of the day was succinct, as defense attorneys turned right to watch her testify, and Tsarnaev turned left. Heather Abbott said, "I landed on the ground in a puddle of chaos and glass and blood. Uncensored and uncut, accounts of atrocity washed over the jurors in still more waves, including audio from the day."
What the hell was that? Oh, my God. Something blew up. Something blew up. Oh, my God. Something happened. Holy shit.
Steve Wolfenden walked up the ramp with a prosthetic on his left leg. He's the father of Leo, a tow-headed 3-year-old photographed crying in the arms of a Boston police officer and bleeding from the side of his head. "Leo was crying and screaming uncontrollably, 'Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy,'" his father testified. Here was the climax of the day's testimony against the defendant, pointing to a method of killing that was heinous, cruel, and depraved, the key words defining an aggravating factor that could warrant the death penalty. And pointing as well to vulnerability here of children, another factor that can warrant the death penalty. Wolfenden said he begged bystanders, strangers, to carry his son to safety because he couldn't. His leg had been severed. He could see the stump of it in his boot. His words were few. His voice was low. Wolfenden was economizing in every way he could to get through his testimony. He was alone, he said, in excruciating pain, when he became aware of a woman and a child lying close to him. The mother was pleading, please, Martin, pleading many times to her 8-year-old son, Martin Richard. An FBI specialist testified that Martin had been standing just 3.5 feet away from Tsarnaev's bomb. Wolfenden said Martin was fatally injured, and "I was terrified. I placed my hand on her back," he said. For a moment, Denise Richard turned from her son. "She asked me if I was okay," said Wolfenden. The man with his leg blown off answered, "Yes, I'm fine." In a room drained of oxygen, the jurors, who heard so much and had cried so often, they now wept openly, had a story of grace in the face of horror. And in contrast to that moment of humanity was the image and video of Tsarnaev walking away from the bomb he planted and close enough to brush Wolfenden and his stroller with Leo walking toward the bomb about to explode. What was missing was the last witness, who had always been expected to testify for the government. Denise Richard, along with her husband William, was absent from the court for the second straight day. The prosecution had made the Richard family the dramatic center of its narrative. An 8-year-old Martin Richard, in his youth, the icon of life and dreams lost. But the Richards have called on the government to stop seeking the death penalty. And it appears they were not willing to help the government in its last big push to persuade jurors to impose a sentence of death. But even without Denise Richard, the government still ended its case on her little boy, eliciting the same instinct from the jurors as from the Richards family, maybe the only way the defense might save Tsarnaev. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
For more insight and analysis of the trial, check out the WBUR Boston Globe podcast, Finish Line, with David Boeri and Boston Globe columnist Kevin Cullen. You can download the free podcast at WBUR.org or go to iTunes and search Finish Line WBUR.